Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
You never completely arrive, church. You might be better. I hope that you are better than you used to be. I hope that you are stronger, more anointed, wiser. Hope that you have more faith than you have ever had in the history of your life. However, don't get complacent where you are. There is always more, praise God. I look at people like Sister Chris Rodriguez and the Inmans sitting here. They've been here a collective over 120 years. Wow, 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. I look at people like this, and I still see them so excited about the things of God. Bishop, myself, and Tyler, we walked the entire building today just talking about some projects and some things, and that's very rare that the three of us are ever together, but they were walking ahead of me, and I just was thankful that I have foundation, I have heritage, but I also have legacy, and we're all here together doing this together. But we brought up just in the talk of what God has done in Living Way and where God has taken us. The Inmans were brought up, and Sister Chris was brought up, and I'm so thankful that we have this heritage of faith, but I'm so grateful that even with the heritage of faith, we have people who've been living for God longer than I've been alive that are still saying, God, I want my faith to grow. God, I believe that the best thing that you have yet to, that you have yet promised has yet to be done in this place. And so I want to encourage everyone in the room and online today, do not get stuck where you're at. Understand that God has a great plan for you, and it's going to take great faith in you. And God is here to level up our faith tonight. Faith is not really about us getting all that we want. I know that we hear preachers preach, myself included, and sometimes it is about the favor of God and that faith will produce God's favor in your life. But sometimes, and I let me just preface this, well, not sometimes, most of the time, faith is not about us getting what we want, but it is about us getting all that God wants us to have. And the greatest gifts that God wants you to have cannot be seen. They cannot be held. They are not concrete. It is faith, joy, peace, righteousness, anointing. That is why we need to read the word every day so we are confident in what God desires to give believers. In this series, we've talked about awakening faith, to build faith. Increasing faith is where we'll jump in tonight. We're going to talk about unleashing faith. You might have faith, but we need that faith unleashed. Then in the next week or two, we will talk about faith in real life and what it looks like. The last couple sessions, we've talked about Living Way being a house of faith, and that it is. But more than a house of faith, God wants us to live a life of faith. Your faith cannot be confined to an address or a zip code. Your faith cannot be confined to the parameters or perimeters of this altar. Your faith is supposed to go home with you. Your faith is supposed to go to work, go to school with you. You're supposed to be able to take your faith into a courtroom. Come on, somebody. You're supposed to be able to take your faith into a hospital room. You're supposed to be able to take your faith on the streets of San Antonio. And where there is not, you can produce it. Where there needs to be more Jesus, you carry it with you. Faith at Living Way would only be a destination. But faith is supposed to be transportation for every season of your life. Let me say that again. Faith is not a destination. Faith is transportation to get you where you need to be and to get what God has called you to have to you. I want to encourage you. You need faith that travels. Remember growing up, Bishop used to watch a TV show called Have Gun, Will Travel. Y'all remember that? No? No? Okay, four of y'all remember that. I don't remember it other than he watching it. You say, what's the point? We don't need the gun. We need the faith. I have faith and I'll travel. My faith travels. My faith is bigger than Wednesday night. Come on now. My faith is bigger than Living Way. My faith is bigger than Easter Sunday morning. My faith is bigger than just when I need a flex. I've got daily faith in my life, a life of faith. Awakened faith. Romans 12:3 says every man has a measure of faith. That measure of faith, we are not conforming to the world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Faith thoughts. You need to be thinking faith a lot. Not just when you need something and not just at church. We need to be having faith thoughts a lot. We need to be thinking faith. We need to be talking faith. So we awaken faith. We build faith. Last session, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance. Substance in the Greek means opostasis, a support or a foundation. When we build and believe in faith, we are literally creating a platform for God to show up. I don't know if the builders of this platform that I'm standing on have ever been to a Living Way service, but I want to tip my hat to them and tell them, thank you for building a place for us to preach Jesus. Thank you for building us a place where people can carry their heavy cares and burdens and cast their cares on Jesus in faith and walk out of this room a different way. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're facing today, but I do know this, that when you believe in faith and when you have faith thoughts and you declare the word of God, you are building a foundation of faith. You are building a platform so that God can show up on days other than Wednesday and Sunday and rock your world in the best way possible. Mark 11, verse 20, in the morning as they went, they saw the fig tree. And Peter remembered that Jesus had cursed the fig tree, and he said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Peter is surprised that Jesus' words worked. Why is he surprised that Jesus' words worked? Because Peter was comparing Jesus to everyone else. I am here to tell you, you should not be surprised when my words fail. You should not be surprised when your best friend's word fails. You should understand that when God speaks, there is no failure in his voice. There is no failure in his character. There is no, man, when I say this, I hope he really gets healed. When God puts it out there, God's word always works. He said, look, Jesus, the fig tree you curse has withered. Peter was surprised, but we should never be surprised that God's word always works. Jesus turns to Peter and the disciples and says four words, have faith in God, building your faith. Then he goes on to say, verse 23, and we didn't get into this last session. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, if anyone, God is not a respecter of persons, he's a respecter of faith. If anyone, when you say mountain move, he's not looking at your age, color of your skin, or denomination. He's not looking at how long you've been a member of Living Way Church. He's not looking at how close you're sitting to the front. All Jesus is looking for is faith. So when you say to the mountain, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea. When anyone says to this rock, to this obstruction, go throw yourself in the sea and does not doubt in your heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. There's the key, church. I don't have any doubt that in this altar, when you pray the prayer of faith and you declare the words of faith, I have no doubt that your faith is strong, that your faith is real, that you believe the God of the New Testament, that what he said he would do, that what he promised he will perform. I have no doubt that you are all in here. What I question is when you get there or wherever you're going, when you get back home and the situation hasn't changed physically, when you get to work tomorrow and you have the naysayers talking to you, when your BFF is like Job and they're telling you, well, you're not living good enough and you're not doing this and you're not doing that. I think that doubt creeps in and robs us of faith. So I want to encourage you, cut off the doubters in your life. Become a woman or a man of prayer. Become a woman or a man that is continually in the word of God so that when doubt shows up, you can say, nope, doubt, you're not going to rob what I declared and what I stood on Wednesday night. I've come to tell somebody, you are 24 hours away from the biggest miracle and breakthrough of this year, but don't let the devil doubt. And don't let them bring doubt to you tonight or tomorrow morning. After Honey in the Rock and the music has faded, after this preacher's voice has faded from your ears, understand there's a God that is still saying, yes, you can, because I already did. You are going to overcome because I already overcame. You can stand the test of time because I'm still standing. It says, whatever you believe in faith, if you don't doubt, it will be done for them. Verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, whatever you ask in prayer, whatever, 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 whatever you ask in prayer. Here's the thing. Some people are talking a lot, but they're not praying enough. Because if we were praying in faith, he said, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I know a lot of people look down on the phrase, fake it until you make it. Jesus said, believe that you have received it. Better than fake it till you make it is faith it until you make it. When you get up from this altar today, when you get done praying tomorrow morning, you wipe the tears out of your eyes, you square your shoulders, you fix your shirt, and you walk through Thursday like God has already done it. Why? Because when you walk in faith and you walk in confidence, what you're saying is, and I don't see it yet, but it's already done, and it's just a matter of time. Turn to your neighbor and tell them we're building faith. Tell them we're building faith. We're building something here. Now let's talk about increase. We've talked about awakened faith, building faith. Now let's talk about increased faith. Luke 17, verse 1 through 6. I've never heard anyone preach this before, and I'm so excited to share this with you. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. Stumbling blocks are not a matter of if, but when. He said they're bound to come, but woe be to anyone through whom they come. So here's the question, church. Are you robbing someone else of their faith? See, because at the end of the day, you can talk about building your faith, and we can talk about building our faith as much as we want to, but are you really building your faith if you're injuring someone else's faith to build yours? We can shout about Jesus on Wednesday. We can lay in the altar on Sunday, but if we're out there living not like hell, but if we're out there living like Jezebel and we are destroying the faith that God has built into someone else. I'm talking about Joseph's brothers. Joseph dreamed a dream and he shared it to brothers who believed like him, talked to Jehovah like him, followed Jehovah like him, and they hated him because of his faith. Not his dream. His faith. You really think that God is going to do that in you? Oh, not only do I think it, I know it. This is a God download. This is a God. That's why you can be careful about who you're going to tell your dream to, but realize this. You need some friction. You need some people to come at you. You need some people to come and test your faith. Why? Because you need to be able to say, hey, no matter what comes at me, no matter what comes against the faith and the promise and the vision that God has for me, I believe what God said about me more than I believe what you say about me. So he said, hey, stumbling blocks are going to come, but woe unto them who they come through. Verse 2, here it goes. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea. What did Jesus just tell in the previous text? He said, speak to the rock and let it be thrown into the sea. Here he says, it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone or a rock around their neck. Here's the revelation, church. You better get rid of the rock in front of you before it gets wrapped around you and drowns you. People of faith, we speak to the rock. We don't let the rock drown us. We speak to the mountain. We don't let the mountain crush us. We speak to the impossibility. We don't let the impossibility bring depression. We speak to the thing that no one else has been able to move. And God said, you better start speaking to some mountains, because if you don't, those very same mountains, the enemy's got a plan to put that rock around your neck and drown you. Said, speak to the rock, speak to the mountain to be cast into the sea. Verse 2, it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, seven times come back and say, I repent. You must forgive them. Then the apostles said this to the Lord, increase our faith. Seems like such an odd text to be talking about faith, does it not? He's talking about offense. He's talking about unforgiveness. He's talking about that you self-sabotage your life when you cause other people to stumble and you do not build them in faith. Listen, people of God, it's not just the bishop and the pastor's job to build faith in other people. It is a believer's. That's part of being a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you. You might have been saved for 5 weeks and you're saying, well, I don't have anything to give. Oh, yes, you do, because there's somebody that's been saved for 5 days. You've got a 4.5 week head start on them to give them, to show them, to encourage them. This is an odd text for Jesus to be talking about offense and unforgiveness, and you better watch yourself, check yourself before you wreck yourself. You'll end up at the bottom of the sea with a mountain around your neck. And then this is what the disciples say. They say they don't ask about forgiveness. They don't ask about any of that. What they say is, God, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You know what they said? They said, for us to do what you say, we need more faith. See, some of us, we're wanting faith for bigger houses, more money, and big cars. I'm all right with that in order of what it's supposed to be in. This is what the disciples said. They said, we're not looking for more faith so we can heal the sick. We're looking for more faith so we can forgive. Because what you're talking about, Jesus, seven times seven, and if they keep sinning, we're supposed to go to them and forgive them over and over and over again. Sometimes faith is not for the bigness of something. Sometimes faith is so that we can stand and honor the precept and the principle of the Word of God, that no matter what is done against you, you must forgive them. Not because you're letting them off the hook, but forgiveness is a gift you give yourself, because you're not going to let that thought run your mind for the next 2 years. Says, I forgive you. Why do I forgive you for much? Because God forgave me of much. I give the same grace, the same forgiveness that I received. Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree. I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, you want more faith? How about you just use the faith you have in better ways? Said, increase our faith. That wouldn't, if I was wanting this text to read how I wanted it to read, I would have answered, increase our faith. You have answered correctly, disciple. Let the faith of God be multiplied in you. That's not what Jesus said. That's why he's God and I'm not. Praise God. We should all thank God that I'm not God and he is. Remember, you're not God and he is. Remember, your way, my way, is not better than his way. His word is the only word that matters. They said, increase our faith. This is what he said. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Here we go, church. Some enemies of faith are very obvious. There's three that we love to talk about being direct enemies of faith. Fear. Fear is a direct enemy of faith. Doubt is a direct enemy of faith. Doubt is faith. Faith is believing God will. Doubt is believing he won't. Worrying is a sign of faith. That's the third one. We've got doubt, we've got worry, we've got fear. Those are the obvious enemies of faith that we love to teach and preach about. However, there are some unlikely enemies to your faith that Jesus lays out here that no one talks about. Unforgiveness robs you of faith. If you harbor unforgiveness against anyone, I'm talking to somebody today, because you're wondering why your faith is not working in 2022. You haven't let go of what your stepdad did in 1982. You say, well, you don't know the pain that it put me through. I'm not naive, or I am naive to that. I don't know. I'm only empathetic. I can't put myself in your shoes, but I do know this. If you keep carrying that pain forward, it is always going to be 1982. You will never step into the fullness of what God wants you to have. And so if you are still thinking that, if you are still walking in unforgiveness, your faith can't work today. We come in here and we shout and we amen and we worship and we hear the word of God and we take good notes and we put them to practice on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and we look up in November and say, God, I've been doing this 60, 90 days and I still don't see you moving in my life. And God's saying, I can't move in unforgiveness. Faith does not move in unforgiveness. You're going to have to forgive before you get faith. Here's another enemy of faith that no one talks about: bitterness. You're mad. You're mad at your last church. You're mad. Let me just tell you, church hurt is real, but the church can't hurt you. People hurt you. People have offended me at HEB. I still go back. People have offended me at Outback. I still go back. People have offended me at Disney World. I still go back. It is a people problem, not a church problem. Well, the pastor at the last church, guess what? He's a person. He's not God. He had a bad day, had a bad month, had a bad season, had a bad year. If he has a bad year, you probably do need to change churches. But I'm here to tell you, you can't carry bitterness forward and expect that your faith in a moment is going to produce God's hand, God's presence, God's voice in your life. I've got to free myself of all the weight that I'm carrying of what people have said to me and done to me. And then when I operate in faith, boom, 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 like dominoes, God lays it out. So we got bitterness, we got unforgiveness, and we got offense. The Bible talks about getting to the place where nothing can offend you. I am unoffendable. I am unoffendable. I hope your declaration, maybe it can't be said right now, but you can start saying it and your life can begin to shape around that declaration that I am unoffendable. Chalk it up to they had a bad week, bad day, bad month. They don't have the secret information about what God has said to me. And so I'm not going to sweat what they said on Facebook. I'm not going to sweat all of the ambiguous things they're talking about and them telling me off through someone else. None of that matters. I'm not going to allow offense to rob me of my faith. I want to be able to speak in faith with no unforgiveness, no bitterness, and no offense unchecked. Matthew 5, verse 23, this is a great example of unforgiveness robbing you of faith. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar, one translation says an offering, if you bring an offering to the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, this wrecked me the last few weeks while I was putting this together. Because in my mind, this scripture read, if you have something against someone else, you haven't even done, this is what they think about you. Said, if you bring an offering, if you bring a sacrifice to the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone else has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar. Don't give it yet. Don't make it yet. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Here's the revelation. God said, when you sacrifice, it's an act of faith. When you offer, it's an act of faith. When you give, it's an act of faith. But if there is unforgiveness, unresolved bitterness, and unresolved offenses around you and in your life, he said, you can give that offering, but you're robbed of what that offering is going to bring back to you because it wasn't offered in faith. It was offered in tradition, and I need you to get your heart right, and I need you to release what they did to you, and I need all of those things. Why? Because God doesn't want you offering something to him and then saying, God never talked to me. God never received that offering. God never blessed that offering. I'm here to tell somebody today, there's a text message you need to send somebody tonight. There's a phone call you need to make today. And you say, well, Pastor, I wasn't in the wrong. The Bible says that he wasn't in the wrong either. It was what they thought about him. I am here to tell somebody, you've been bashing your brain all year long over what someone did to you and over what somebody said about you and over why it hasn't happened like God said it was going to happen. And we keep telling you to get your hopes up and we keep telling you vision and dreams and goals and all of these things, and it's not happening for you. Could it be that you're one phone call away from your offering being accepted? Could it be that you're one text away? And again, release them. They don't even have to apologize. Just release them. And I know there's been some bad blood between us this year. And to be honest with you, I don't even know who's at fault and what was going on. But whatever part I had in that, I'm sorry. I hope that we can move on from this. And they might start cussing you out, and you can hang up the phone and put your head down on your pillow and know that you did what you needed to do, and everything that you offer to God, time, talent, and treasure, is received from Him. I want to encourage you today that windows of heaven are always open, but don't close your house and close the door with offense, bitterness, and all the things that can rob you of faith. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am increasing my faith. We've awakened, we've built, we've increased faith, but now it's time to unleash faith. Faith is not something to be stored or saved. Some of us are treating faith like Pokemon cards. I'm going to get all I can. Like cryptocurrency, I'm going to get all I can. Like water during hurricanes, I'm going to get all I can. Like toilet paper during COVID, I'm going to get all I can. Faith is not something to be stored or saved. You cannot out faith God. As much as you send it out, you turn around and it's there. You know how I know this principle is true? The feeding of the 5,000. Jesus breaks the bread, prays over it, and blesses it. There's 12 men that are going one after another to feed 20,000 people, 5,000 men and their families. And every time they come back to the little basket that had two fish and five loaves, which doesn't have to be a very big basket, Jesus just keeps reaching in and handing it. I am here to tell you, you can't outgive God. You can't outfaith God. You put all that faith out on a Wednesday night, you're going to turn around and say, wow, all that faith gave me this much more faith. You cannot get rid of all of your faith. You can spend it all on a Wednesday night, and before you get to your car, you're going to have a bushel full of more faith. It's going to be more faith than you've ever had. Quit saving your faith for a rainy day. Quit saving your faith for a famine. I use my faith in times of flood. I use my faith in times of famine. I use faith when I feel 100%, but I use faith when I have a bad report from the doctor. I use faith when everything is going all right, but I use my faith in Jesus when everything's going wrong. I use my faith on Sunday morning when I'm worshiping, but I use my faith on Monday morning when I'm working. I'm not saving my faith. It's not stored. It's not saved. I'm spending it as quick as I can. They say the secret to being wealthy is saving. That's not true. Saving makes you comfortable. It doesn't make you wealthy. Investing in the right things gives you what we call generational wealth. See, I am hoping and believing, and I know I'll get two really good amens right here. I'm hoping and believing that I can leave my kids with $100 million. Amen? Amen? He's already worried about worship. Don't miss your $100 million or $50 million. She's going to take all of it if you don't want it. But to do that, I can't just save. I've got to invest strategically. Saving faith does the same thing. It makes you comfortable. Because I can always look back on the shelf and say, I've got that for my rainy day. Yeah, but what about their rainy day? What about the suicidal coworker tomorrow that needs your faith because they don't have enough faith on their own? You say, well, that's my faith. They're going to have to get their own faith. No, the Bible says the four friends that tore off the roof and lowered their friend down, the Bible says that Jesus healed that man according to their faith. What about the person you go to school with tomorrow that has an eating disorder? Come on, young person. What happens to the family member that you see at Thanksgiving that is on the verge of just giving up and they need some of your faith? I'm here to tell you, I'm not saving my faith. I'm investing my faith. I invested on Monday, Tuesday. I'm investing a little over here, a little over here, a lot over here. I'm growing that thing. Why? Because I don't want just enough faith for me, a faith for my wife. I want enough faith for my kids. I want a generational faith. I want faith for living away. Should God tarry when we hit 100 years from now and I'm no longer the pastor of this church, I still want my faith to be producing. That only happens when you turn it loose. If I was a TBN preacher, I would start talking about an offering. The greatest faith you have is not in what you give in the offering. It's what you give 24 hours a day. God, I'm giving you my life, giving you my voice. I'm giving you, God, permission to work and move in my life. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for what I've felt in this room today. I've literally felt, God, the flow of faith being enlarged and, God, coming up like a river in flood stage, God. I believe we're in a flood stage, God, of faith. I believe that faith is rising in this room, but it's not rising in a house, God. It's rising because of the people in this room. God, as we stand to our feet in this room today, as we open the altar today, Lord, we're getting ready to exercise faith. We're getting ready to spend faith. We're getting ready to let go of faith. We've been holding on, saying, if I can just get another couple ounces, if I can just get another couple pounds of faith, if I can just get another couple days of faith under my belt, I think by next Monday I'm going to be able to make that statement of faith and really believe. No, right here, right now, we're going to unleash that faith. We're going to unleash that faith. I was going to share it privately, but as I began to tell them that I would share it privately, he said, no, he said, God did it, you share it publicly. Brother Kevin Green, standing right here, one of my favorite people on planet Earth, Kevin Green Sr., him and Sister Tammy are incredible blessings to this church. I've seen God work miracle after miracle after miracle in their life in a variety of ways. Let me tell you how much faith they have. When they get a bad report from the doctor, they will not even verbalize what the doctor said. A few months ago, Sister Tammy and Brother Kevin came to Mandy and myself privately, and they said, we got some really bad news. I call them, respectfully, I call them Big Kev, because Little Kev's somewhere around here. So Big Kev came and he said, we got some really bad news about my health. I said, well, what's going on? They wouldn't tell me specifically, but I knew by what they were saying what it was. And they said, we're not telling a lot of people. We're just telling the people that really know how to pray, that have a lot of faith. So they confided, I don't know, probably less than 6 or 7 people. And this past Sunday, I stood right where David's standing, and after service was greeting people and talking to people. And Kevin and Sister Tammy and Big Kev came up to me and said, hey, can we talk to you real quick? I said, sure. And they began to tell me the testimony of scan after scan after scan after scan, showing no signs of what the doctor said was there just a few months ago. And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't quiet. They can tell you, I stepped back out of their face and I said, yes, praise God. Why? Because there are people of faith that say, hey, devil, everything you do to me, I'm ready for, not because of me, but because I've got a faith that has been awakened. I have built faith. I have increased faith. And now in this moment, we unleash faith. So I saved that testimony for right now because I need somebody. This altar call right now is not for people that just need a little something to get you through to next Saturday. I'm talking about people that are fighting the fight of faith. It's a good fight because the fight of faith, you always win. But you're saying, God, I need that faith built in me. I need more faith. I need faith increased. I need it awakened within me. Maybe you've never been in a church like this before. We want to introduce you to Jesus. When I say faith, I'm talking about faith in the word of Jesus. I'm talking about faith in the blood of Jesus. We talked about it tonight. That blood still flows. God is still in the miracle working business. Jesus still saves. He still heals. He still delivers. But let's awaken. Let's awaken. Love seeing this young couple here in the altar. About 6 months ago, he stopped me in the lobby on Sunday. About 6 months ago, and he said, Pastor, he said, I don't come much, but every time I come, he said, I'm so inspired by the word that you preach. I said, man, it's all Jesus. It's all Holy Ghost. But I said, hey, let's not make it a few months. Come back in a couple months. See, that's my maturity now. I don't tell them to come every service we're open. I'm saying, hey, you're coming once every 6 months. Come back in 2 months. He came back in a couple months. I said, you know what's better than a couple months? He said, ooh, today's service is good. I said, you know what's better than a couple months? Once a week is really good. And I'm going to tell you, this couple joined the church just a couple Sundays ago. I'm going to tell you one better than that. I think tonight's the first Wednesday they've been here. See, that's faith building. See, 6 months ago, faith was awakened. Now they're building faith, increasing faith. Their children are next door at kids' church. That is, it's faith. Now they're at an altar saying, God, let's unleash some faith. Jesus, your word is true. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will always stand. It will always stay. God, we love you tonight, and we are here on a midweek service to give you praise and to worship you. Praising you for what you've done. I worship you, God, not for what you've done, but for who you are in my life. God, and as the word has been preached, as this altar begins to fill up, God, I pray that this would be the time of the miraculous. Miracles, signs, and wonders will follow those that believe. I believe that mountains and strongholds are being cast out today, Jesus. I believe cancers are drying up in Jesus' name. I believe hate is drying up in Jesus' name. I believe things, God, situations where we don't know what to do, God, you are literally moving in the hearts of men and women. Unforgiveness is being, Lord, squashed right now. Forgiveness flows. Well, I feel that one strong. Forgiveness flows. I'm talking to somebody who the marriage didn't work out. And I say this because I love you. It's over. Let it go. Forgive them and what they did to you. Let it go. Don't carry that hurt in your next relationship. Don't carry that baggage into your next marriage. God's plan. God's will. He just needs faith tonight. If you're in this altar, I want you to lift both hands if they're not already lifted. And I want you to just begin to say things like, God, I need you to build my faith tonight. God, increase my faith tonight. God, I'm here unleashing my faith about, and you can name the situation. I'm unleashing my faith about that court situation. I'm unleashing my faith about that doctor's report. I'm unleashing my faith about my in-laws. Come on, somebody. I'm unleashing my faith about the doubts that I've had at night. I'm unleashing faith about the depression I've been struggling with since COVID. I'm unleashing my faith in you, Jesus. I'm going to set this microphone down in just a moment. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and begin to lay hands. Pastor Brent, I'd love if you'd come down and begin to lay hands on these in this altar. We get all the help we can get from these anointed men and women. If you're in this room tonight and you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment. If you've never claimed and declared him as the Savior of your life, Lord of all, this is your moment. If you've never been baptized in water, we are ready. Everything you need to get baptized tonight. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost,